Coming to you live from St. Louis, Missouri.
It's the Faster Freedom Show.
With your hosts, Sam Prim and Lucas Wolf.
We're talking about freedom.
Hi, Lucas.
Hi, we talking about freedom today?
We actually are talking about freedom. Me and Lucas just got into I'm not going to say heated argument, but we got to do a fun, lively discussion right before we went live, one of the headlines we're going to talk about today. So make sure you hang around for the headline segment. Lucas and I have slightly differing opinions that I think we're both somewhat passionate about in those topics. So aside from that, today we are going to talk about which states are best to invest in and the reasons why those certain states are better to invest in other states. That mixed with the headline walls we're getting, we're not like picking sides, but we're doing some a little bit of political chatter today, which is kind of fun.
Let's do it.
So then we got the REI school talking about which states are best to invest in, mainly for rentals, but we're going to give you our thoughts on wholesaling and flipping. Then we are going to get into some current headlines. We're going to argue a little bit. That'll be fun. And then we are going to get into Riddle Me This. I'm going to ask Lucas some questions. Lucas is going to ask me some true and false, and then we're going to motivate you. So we got a stacked, jacked, and packed episode today.
Yeah, man. I'm excited.
Wherever you're watching, make sure you let us know where you're watching from. Right now, we are live on X, Facebook, and YouTube. Let us know where you're from in the chat box. If you're watching the recording, thanks for watching this after the fact. We play this on YouTube after the fact and on Spotify and Apple Podcast. I think that's all of it. We're all over the place, Walls.
We are.
We have tens of people watching.
X, you sent me something on X last night, and I was like, I don't have an account. I can't see it.
Did you end up seeing it?
Well,
did you look it up after?
I didn't.
Yeah, we can look it up.
That should be the recent one of the recent headlines.
Yeah, Joker, the Jokic of the NBA. He hit one of his brothers, punched a dude.
Yeah,
the dude didn't even look that bad. The dude was like talking, like kind of like looking at him, talking like, I'm sure they were talking smack earlier, but he just pops him right in the face.
Dang, they're big too, so that probably hurt.
I'm sure it did. Didn't knock the dude over, but he made solid contact. I think you got to kind of do like lower jaw to like knock him. Like it was more up here.
I can assume him.
What?
Oh,
100%. I mean, no matter what, if you didn't touch him, Joker would probably write $1 million check and be done. But
yeah,
cool. All right, Lucas. So if anybody is just joining or they haven't heard about Freedom Fest, go to FasterFreedomFest.com. It's an in-person event we're doing in St. Louis, May 9th and 10th in our office. I'm super excited about it. We're going to do things that no other in-person event does. We have created the systems to create wealth. We give those systems away as much as we can on social media, but the cool thing about this in-person event is we will be handing you the playbook. Literally, you'll leave with a playbook to create the systems. Why are you laughing?
I love that. You said it very, very well.
Shout out Noah.
Yeah.
Is that why you're laughing?
Yeah.
It's true. We just didn't word it better, but lots of cool stuff from that.
Yeah.
So anyways, come to Freedom Fest. We're offering, we're going to be probably offering 50% off that anybody goes there. So Tyler just got to figure that part out. But come on out. It's a few $100. It's well worth 2 days with us and our team. I promise you will get a couple $100 worth of value out of that.
I second that.
You think a playbook to create wealth is worth a couple $100?
Yeah.
Is that in the chat box? You think a playbook to create wealth is worth a couple $100?
Yeah.
Shane or Gainer's up moving around. Something's wrong. No. Okay. Yeah. All right. All right, Walls. So let's talk about investing in rental property. Let's start there.
Okay.
Not every state is a good state to own rental properties. I guess maybe take that back, Lucas. There
some
are probably
states are better than others.
That's a good one. There are probably better states to own rental properties in than other states. Obviously, every single state has millions of rental properties owned in it, so it does work. But the easiest thing and the better states is what we're going to cover today.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, I think some states have some pieces of the puzzle, and then other states don't, and then they're kind of like flip-flopped on that. So
there's 50 states, just for fun. How many states you think are A level for rental properties, B and C?
Man, I mean, United States of America, I'm owning rental properties in pretty much every state.
But what do you think is the best? Like, how many numbers?
Alaska, probably.
Okay. No, I think it's fine.
This is too far, too cold. So A, B, C, and this is like for America, it's an A, not like global investments.
For America, it's an A.
My money is going to United States real estate, period.
Yes.
I don't care which state it's in.
Correct.
But best in America.
Don't name them. We'll get into those. I'm just wondering percentage.
I bet it's about third.
So you think third?
No,
yeah.
Maybe that lower tier is smaller.
So you think it's like maybe
40-40-20?
40-40-20?
Yeah, I'll go 40-40-20.
That's probably right. I was, we'll see. Ah, that's probably freaking right. I would probably say maybe like
bigger B
30. I was going to say 50, 30, 30, 50, 20. So I think we're both have similar mindsets on that. I think.
Do we know the actual answer to that? Or is
I don't
just
think there. I mean, a lot of this is a lot of what we talk about. Yeah, subjective. I mean, we're going to throw some facts behind it, and our subjective answer probably carries more weight than a lot of people, considering we own $50 million in real estate. But obviously, it's not. We're not always right about everything.
Yeah.
And depending on where you live or what you want to do, what we do won't work for you. But we have a pretty good thought about it.
Yeah, we own $50 million in one state, obviously. Or not that obvious. All of ours is in Missouri.
Mm-hmm. And Missouri's like, I would give it like, it's in the A, but probably the lower class of the A, in my opinion.
Yeah, it could be a B. Like B United States real estate. Real estate
top,
is still
top
good.
Of the B though. If it's there, in my opinion, it's pretty damn good.
We are biased for sure.
Yeah, but I mean, hedge funds and a lot of people invest in like St. Louis, Kansas City from around the country. Mm-hmm. So it's not just us.
Yep.
There's shit all over this table from our lights. You see our new lights?
Which ones?
The can lights. Those weren't there.
Those are new. Nice.
Yeah.
They look sharp.
Look good, apparently electricians love it. They just leave their shit everywhere. There's like dust all over the floor and all over the desk and whatever. Looks good.
Yeah, but like you said, where was I going with that?
Turbulence.
But we are part of groups that own rentals and real estate in all of these states. So that's where we can kind of get some insider knowledge. And I know you do some research as well.
I do some research, some content. Last thing, and then we'll get to it. We just like to kind of have fun and chat with you, which is a great question, by the way. We'll get to the question from JTG on YouTube. So ask your questions. But I feel like I've heard this saying, and it's so true, and you're probably seeing it more. Maybe you're not into it that deep yet. But like, you do something. Like, you read about something, you learn a little bit, you do it, you learn a ton, but you like finish the circle of being an expert by teaching it.
Yeah.
I learned so much by teaching and talking and explaining it multiple times and figuring out the efficient ways to explain it. So I feel like I'm more of an expert just by teaching it.
Yeah.
And almost being less involved than I was when I was involved in everything. Like, I know the principles, but now teaching it, I just articulate it and think about it all the time. And I am more of an expert because I teach it, I feel like.
So you're a bigger expert than me, is what you're saying.
It's been that way probably for about 25 years. But
no, I can see that, though, just kind of getting out of the weeds and looking at it from a big picture, for sure. Yeah, you can learn a lot more by becoming a teacher of something or a coach, absolutely.
Yes, 100%. Yeah. Cool. All right, well, so we're going to pick these states to invest in. So let's initially talk about what makes a good state to buy rental properties, in our opinion. And when I buy rental properties, I want a property that's going to grow in value, appreciation.
Mm-hmm.
I want a property that's going to produce. Look at Shaner Gaynor. He's getting a little, I told him let's get a little more graphics going up, and he's doing them. I like them. I want a property to grow in value. I want it to produce cash flow, and I want beneficial laws. Like, to use a duh example, I would not prefer to own real estate in California for the simple fact that like tenants and or squatters seem to have as much or close to as much rights as the owner of a property. We are not slumlords. We treat our tenants extremely fair. We're probably overly nice. We give payment plans. We are very nice to our tenants, and we love our tenants. But you could do that in California, and they cannot pay, and they can stay for months and months, if not a year. So that's why I think the laws are very important, because if you didn't collect rent for a year on a rental property, that if you're buying with none of your money, you're probably just never going to be a good investment ever again.
For sure.
So anyways, those are my three criteria. Are you good with using those criteria moving forward?
I am. I'm going to put a subcategory
to
beneficial laws. Because you're mainly talking about like landlord and tenant laws there. But
I want it to be fair. I'm not asking for all the power. I just want it to be fair.
A law. I'm just talking about the things we're talking about here. So a part of that, I think, is like the municipality. So it's like government in a way.
Mm-hmm.
But what makes some things challenges, and just an example in St. Louis, is all the different types of laws and municipalities that you have to follow.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if St. Louis was like one government, we would be able to understand those and have a more systemized process to go through inspections and stuff like that. So I would consider that maybe B.
That's part of the law.
Yeah.
No, I get what you're saying. I 100% agree. I would. Yeah. I'm just. That's true. My mind just for this, just like the general, in any county in St. Louis or in any county in Missouri, a lot of it is Missouri-based laws that the counties make their own that just are fair for the tenant and the landlord.
Yeah, and health of the real estate market.
Yes.
You know, in general, I think is kind of where you're going at with those more specific details.
Cool. All right. So those are our criteria when I look to buy rental properties here, and when we start to expand across the country, because we will, and then when I talk to students that live in other states that they invest or live in another state and invest remotely, these are the type of things that we talk about on our coaching calls, on our in our community. We talk about buying properties that meet these criteria. So Lucas, before we get into good state, bad states, and talk through that,
and we'll talk through those three things in each state.
Yeah. So actually, I was gonna talk about Missouri first. We got them at the bottom of the outline. Do you want to get that? Let's talk about them first.
Yeah.
All right. So what would you rate Missouri on a 1 to 10 scale in property value growth traditionally? Did we screw up everything by going to Missouri at the end? Okay.
I would rate Missouri on a property value growth a 4 or 5.
Okay. Up to 4.5.
Well, what's yours? And then you could...
I would say... I would probably say 5-ish, just because...
Well, let's go with I'm fine with fine.
The only reason I'm saying that, Walls, is because St. Charles County has been one of the fastest-growing counties in the Midwest for, 20 years. Everybody thinks St. Louis. They think Dying City or whatever, all that kind of stuff, because the city's kind of smaller. But overall, if I'm including St. Charles County and St. Louis County, I think
everything.
It's a 5.
Yeah. All the rural areas?
Yeah, 4.5 to 5. Yeah. I agree.
Okay, cool.
So middle of the pack. We get property value growth. We don't get huge swings up, huge swings down. That's why I feel like we're kind of right in the middle.
Yeah.
I like it. All right. Positive cash flow.
I would say, what state would I even put above Missouri in cash flow? Probably some.
Yeah, I think there's some. I think there's some that have lower costs. Oklahoma, you can buy a house for cheaper.
So maybe 7. Cash flow?
I agree with that.
Eight?
You can maybe buy a property cheaper in Oklahoma, let's say, which we're not using that as an example. So don't worry, we're not cheating too far ahead. We got other states we're going to go over. But I don't know that I guess we'll just leave it at that. I don't want to get too many details on that because we're not even doing Oklahoma. But great. All right. So beneficial laws. How would you say the laws are in Missouri and specifically where we invest that are good for investors, meaning they're fair?
I would say 8.
Yeah. I agree with that.
So what's that average? 15-20 divided.
That's probably
by
average. That's probably the average of 7.
Yeah, right, so under a 7, high sixes.
Yeah, yeah. Good. I think that makes it a B plus, A minus as far as our little grading scale system, because we're not 90 plus isn't an A. All right, awesome. So that's our thoughts in Missouri, and we know this market better than any. So that's kind of why we know we love Missouri. That's why we invest here. We could invest in other states. It's because you get property value growth. When it goes up, it goes up good. When it goes down, it doesn't go down too bad. You get decent cash flow. The laws are good. We can't kick a tenant out tomorrow because they didn't pay. Yeah. We can send them a notice, then they go to court. If they agree to a payment plan, they get a stay. They stick to the payment plan, they stay. We can't even kick them out. If they don't stick to the payment plan, then we can't come out. So it's a fair system, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree.
Cool. All right. Awesome. Part of that is there's just shitty landlords out there in every state and every city that kind of ruin it for everybody, I think, to a certain degree.
Agreed.
Okay. Cool. All right, Lucas. Let's get on to good state, bad state. Let's get on to California.
California, probably one of the extreme on all these.
Yeah, I think it's
so
probably
I would
the
say
most.
Appreciation 8, you say?
Yeah, tough. I would say yes, because in general, real estate goes up. The few times, I think real estate goes up over 90% of the year-over-year we looked at. The few times that it goes down, California gets hammered, but it goes up so much, and real estate goes up way more than it goes down. So that's why I'll give it an 8, because when it goes down in 08, it got hammered, but that doesn't happen very often. It's going to happen once more in our lifetime, probably. So I'll give it an 8. I agree.
Yeah, so cash flow, probably... This kind of goes into laws a little bit, but I know not every investor is doing this, but it is a nice place to get cash flow. And on the West Coast, is they're doing those ADUs.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it affects it my rating maybe by 1 or 2 with the ability 82s, ADUs. Before ADUs, cash flow in California probably be 3.
Okay.
So maybe 4.
Okay.
You okay with a 4?
Yeah, I'm okay with the 4. That's on the higher end what I would do, but I'm fine with it. Obviously, it doesn't matter.
I think it's higher than New York is.
I would agree with that.
So maybe 3?
I think 3 is fine. The ADUs help. this issue, just the cost of the cost of living, the cost to own, and taxes, which are different than laws, all affect the cash flow, obviously.
For sure.
I think the top end's good, but the bottom end is super squeezed in California.
Yeah, I think I think multifamily, you can do it. I think single family would be a huge challenge to get anything to cash flow.
I agree. And people I know, like, will not on here, I think Washington is probably similar to California.
Yeah.
Kong has properties in Washington. Our buddy Kong, he's been on the podcast. He was on last week, actually. He cash flows, but he's like an 8 and a 14 unit. So he needs that multi. You need the multi. It works. It works pretty good at that point.
So single family, so three or probably three.
Let's say three. I agree. And Bootleg Snacks on YouTube, we are going to get to that question. It's a great question. So don't worry, we're going to get to that here in a minute before we get to current headlines. Make sure to share the show if you have not, by the way. All right, last one, laws.
Laws, yeah. I would say the ADUs help with the laws. It's a new law. Like, we can't do that here in Missouri, but what they're doing out there. And it's, they're doing it to help people afford to be able to live in a place. An ADU is an auxiliary dwelling unit.
Yep.
That
it's not additional dwelling unit.
It could be. I'm not sure.
I don't know. Either way,
same thing. But you can put another physical property on a lot that you already have a house.
Okay.
And that is a very flexible type of unit you can do. You can convert a garage. You can drop in a camper. You could put a tiny house
on it. And you can legally rent it out or have someone live there.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I think that's pretty cool. So that maybe moves it up one from like a 1 to a 2 or 2 to a 3, but probably...
I'm going to say 2. I think.
I'm fine with 2.
I think a 1 to a 2 just because... just the laws of, like, again, it's just I hate to, like, harp on. I don't want to, like, kick people out and be a D-bag, but, like, yeah, you've seen we see the horror stories. I'm sure there are examples where they get out quickly, but it is possible for people to stay a long time without paying rent.
For sure, yeah, and it's just like every law, it's just something you got to be able to work around and put systems in place. We know a lot of quality investors in San Diego and other parts of the country that are other parts of the state that are making rentals work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's possible, but a lot more challenging here than here in Missouri, I would say.
So California to own single or to own like real estate.
13 divided by 3, so like 4.5.
That's four. Higher than I thought it'd be. I'm good with
that's
it though.
About right.
4.5.
There's a lot of good things about California real estate. Appreciation is a main driver.
Yeah,
there.
Most people in California,
buy off appreciation.
We have 200 community members in California. A majority of them invest remotely.
Especially if they're trying to execute the Burr strategy.
Correct.
That is probably damn near impossible.
Yeah, if you go to California and you put 40% cash down on a duplex and like that, but that's not realistic for a lot of people. Shoot, just wait till we get our main headline. Freaking 40% down on something's not realistic. Freaking $180. That's nothing.
No.
We're gonna argue a little bit. It's fun.
Let's
we don't argue
do
a
it.
Ton. I'm gonna embarrass you. All right. So California, I would say is a C-.
Sounds good.
Indiana,
why don't you tell us about Indiana? You know a little bit about that.
I do, I like
appreciation.
Indiana.
Let's talk appreciation.
I look at Indianapolis as what like St. Louis could be.
Yeah.
It's been a really growing city, clean, very well done. They've hosted the draft there a couple of times. I've been there. People like it's a beautiful city. The layout,
nice.
And it's the Midwest.
Yep,
it's
been there several times.
Yeah, it's Indianapolis. I feel like that's why I would like to help make St. Louis be, because I love St. Louis, but it hasn't had that growth recently. So, Indianapolis specifically, it's just the main market I'm talking about. But no, I like it a lot. Before we get into some of the things we talked about, it's had a lot of job growth recently. A lot of people going to Indiana, and then the taxes, more doing beneficial laws, but the taxes are very friendly.
Yeah,
which helps cash
flow.
Yeah,
for sure.
So Indiana's. I don't know it yet, Lucas, but it's gonna be a good grade.
Good. So appreciation, and I'm gonna relate it to Missouri more than any other.
100%. I think I look at it just like I'm not trying to. I love Missouri. Kind of like a little better Missouri in my opinion.
Yeah. Cool. Specifically Indianapolis, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So appreciation, probably a 6.
Okay, I agree. Probably a little better than St. Louis.
Yeah,
I'll let you write them down because you got a better system. Look at your system. Look at like you have it like checkered and.
Mine's not even that good. But well, I can't understand.
That's my system to mark them.
All right, cash flow in Indiana. What is the median house price in Indiana? Do you guys know that?
We can look it up maybe and let
Missouri?
Us. Yeah,
I would say very similar.
Yes,
to
I would. Yes, I probably. Seven? Probably similar, but Indianapolis might be a little bit more, but I bet we have like you know, Springfield, Columbia, Kansas City. So mm-hmm. our over the state might be pretty Camp similar. Yeah. Median house. Look, type it. I'm going to write it. Median house price, Indiana.
So I'm going to go cash flow without when thinking the median house price. Because median house price.
$236,000.
All right. Go to St. Louis real quick just to compare apples to apples. I know the actual number. But or did you was that Indiana or mm-hmm. Indianapolis?
That was Indiana.
Indiana, $236,000 median house price.
Missouri
is
238.
So wow. Very
so they're same. So
I would say, with all else being equal, with tax fairly equal with taxes and insurance and stuff, probably about the same cash flow.
Okay.
If you got a very similar median house price, I would say.
Okay.
But I would say lower the median, probably more likely to have higher cash flow.
Potential. I agree with that.
Would you
yep.
say that? Mm-hmm. All right. So 7 on the cash flow. You good with that?
Yep.
Because there's yeah, like you said, there's some other states that are probably more cash flow friendly, a little less on the appreciation. What's beautiful about both Missouri and Indiana is you get a little bit of both.
Yep, I agree. And then laws to not like have the we got plenty of time, but laws I would say probably similar. Similar. I know they're pretty normal.
Similar to Missouri?
Yes, yeah, so that's a given 8. Yep.
Cool. So that is 21. That is exactly a 7 average. So
yep, so slightly better. I think that makes sense. A little bit better than Missouri.
Yeah, love it, man.
Awesome, perfect. All right, let's keep on rolling. Texas.
Yeah.
So I'll intro Texas a little bit. Obviously, incredible growth in the economy
yeah.
and people moving there. It's a really, really popular state. You don't have to pay, income tax in Texas, which is really nice. So that allows people to have a little bit more money to potentially pay rent. And it is a very landlord-friendly laws.
Yeah.
You can get people out pretty quickly, I think. So those are positives. The one negative, and no, I only know this because we have 200 students in Texas,
yeah.
is the real estate taxes are pretty hefty
are
there.
That
makes a lot of properties not cash flow. The cost of living has gone up a little bit because so many people move there, and then the real estate taxes really
yeah.
cut into it.
And something that I just thought of, too, that we're not going to include in our big three, but in these markets that we're going to get to that are very high grades. We're not the only one that knows that. So there's a lot of other investors.
Competition's higher.
Competition is higher. So just because the market is ripe for it doesn't mean you can get the deal because you're fighting.
Well, you're still going to have to find. There are no deals just falling off trees in
yeah.
any market
yeah.
Right now and for a long time.
Yep.
I agree. Okay. So there's my ratings for that. Just urge some my, what do you want to call it? Just kind of setting.
Precursor.
That's the word I was looking for.
Preamble.
T York, were you working on the calculator over there? Or are you working on Facebook? Which one? Data boy, just making sure. All right, okay. Just my micromanaging from a live podcast.
Yeah.
All right.
Get them boys a mic, dog. I'm
we need to.
You.
Well, yeah. we got a lot to figure out this fucking thing, but okay.
Appreciation in Texas. Do you think it's California level? It might.
It's pretty damn close. I would say it's probably
7 or 8.
I would say an 8.
Okay, let's go with an 8. I'm good with that. And cash flow is. Better than California?
Yes, I would probably. My initial gut reaction is a 5 on cash flow.
I'm good with that, but not as good as like Missouri or Indiana.
This is cool. Like, so we do this with like work stuff, like with like team members and company stuff. This is an interesting way to like systemize a rating
yeah.
system.
Yeah.
I like it. I like where things are ending up.
And then laws in Texas, probably 9 or 10.
I would say 9.
Yeah, let's go 9.
Yeah, I would say 9.
Okay, so that's a really good score. That's 22.
Yeah, so
that's surprising.
Yeah, it seems high to me. So I think, I mean, it is what it is. I think
maybe drop appreciation to 7.
And then
I don't think you're getting quite the annual increase that you're getting in California. I don't know.
No, I don't think so
okay,
either.
Let's drop appreciation to a 7. Cash flow, 5 might be a little liberal too. I don't know what the cash flow situation
yeah,
is.
Just knowing, I know that. In my opinion, if you want cash flow and appreciation, Texas is not Indiana and Missouri.
Yeah.
So that's why. So let's knock that down to a 4.
Okay.
And then
that gives
us 19.
Nine.
Yeah. 9 and also 9.
Yeah. 19 then?
Yep.
All right. 19. Good.
Oh, that's 20, right? Still.
Set 20. Yeah,
yeah.
So right the same as Missouri.
Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, especially because you get the appreciation. That's huge. And then
yeah.
your cash flow. The other thing, Walls, if it's really friendly landlord friendly laws and just hopefully you don't take advantage of it.
Yeah.
You can probably cash flow a little more if you're able to quickly get somebody out if they're not paying.
Yeah, good point.
So that will help cash
yeah.
flow. Because like we always say.
What doesn't help cash flow in Texas is high median price.
Yes.
Right? What are we at on median price if someone wants to look at that real quick?
I can.
And those taxes that you were talking about, those real estate taxes.
Median price. So what I was saying was you can't Texas is, yeah, I don't think it's as good of a market as for lane. So 304.
Yeah.
I mean, we're taking all like to account. There's a lot of houses, a lot of rural houses in Texas.
Yeah.
So.
So yeah, there's probably some good submarkets of Texas that are probably awesome, like an hour away from some of these big metros.
Tyler, Texas is a growing lot. Plano, a lot of those. Like, I was on a coaching call this morning, and we had there was 13 doors that were picked up recently under contract.
In that one group, that's amazing.
And then there was 5 houses getting looked at today in the group.
Nice.
Pretty cool. Pretty active. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
That's that Wednesday call. Powerful group of people show up.
That is. We just had somebody join our community. That's 116 rentals.
That's amazing. That blew my mind. That's got to be the most, right?
Yeah, besides us? Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Okay, cool. All right, let's move on. Probably won't do all of these because this kind of will probably do less. What do you want to do? 3 more, Luke. Which 3 do you want to do?
All right, let's do.
We got to do NC.
I feel like New York is going to be similar to California.
Mm-hmm.
I would feel like a little less because you don't have the ocean or weather that you get in California.
So do you want to do, so you're saying it's no point in repeating?
No point in repeating.
I think we should do Illinois because it's different. I think a little bit different.
Let's do Illinois because it's Midwest.
Illinois, North Carolina, and Georgia. Does that sound good?
I like Georgia.
Okay.
Let's do Georgia, Illinois, North Carolina.
Yep.
Georgia. I mean, Georgia and North Carolina
are similar. North Carolina's my favorite market in the whole country.
What about Florida?
Okay, let's do Florida.
Florida's
he doesn't
wild.
Have it up there, but yeah, let's do Florida. He asked me if we should do Florida. I said no, but if he can do it, if not, don't worry about the graphic.
I know. So
but they're, those are 3 different ones. I like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Illinois.
Illinois. So our neighbor, right?
Yes.
So our city. St. Louis.
Real quick, it's tricky because we're talking the whole state. Yeah, like you go to Quincy, Illinois, where
that's a good point.
where the guy that joined our communities from, he has 160 rentals. It's a $6 million value. But then you go to Chicago. So we're just trying to. I'm mainly taking like suburbs of big cities, Lucas. That's just what I'm thinking of. Does that make sense? Because that's where most people live in these areas.
Just some quick math. Chicago, I believe, takes up about 70% of the population of
it
the
does.
Whole state.
It does. 100%. I've heard that similar. Yeah. So just for framing, I guess, when we're talking states, we're mainly talking the bigger cities and suburbs in those bigger cities.
Yep.
Like so we're mainly talking Chicagoland is what we're mainly talking here.
So for reference, Illinois is our neighbor. We could probably get to Illinois in 40 minutes, give or take, from here.
You're driving 60 minutes, but most people drive in 40 minutes.
Yeah, you drive in 12.
Oh, I drive like, I drive 10% over the speed limit. You drive 10% under the speed limit.
Put your seatbelt on at least.
I do.
Good. St. Louis, MSA of about 3
million.
Watching
from Ghana.
MSA of about 3 million, and 2 million of that is in on the Missouri side, and about 1 million of it, give or take, is on the Illinois side. Mm-hmm. So, it's separated by a river, but you buy a house in Illinois and a house in Missouri, and it's very, very different.
Very different.
Different market.
We're the biggest home buyer in St. Louis, and we don't buy in Illinois. Yeah. We have the resources to 100% buy there, and we don't.
Right. So even though we're not talking about St. Louis as being part of this Illinois conversation, just in that short distance, it's night and day difference.
100%.
Okay. So let's talk, let's go through our thing, Sam. Appreciation for Illinois.
Yeah, I would say it's not as much.
I would say it's not as good as we think either.
Yeah, obviously, like when I go to Chicago, Daney, like North Shore, although that gets it, but overall, Chicago, not really. I would say, four?
You
3 or 4?
Better Missouri, right?
Maybe.
We put Missouri at a 5.
Well, do you want me to look it up? So me average house price appreciation. Let's look at average house price appreciation Illinois. Let's just do it right now. So what are you thinking it's going to be?
I was thinking it's
7% over the past year.
Okay, that's about us, right? That's very similar to us.
I think we were a little bit less, but maybe not. So maybe you're right. So maybe slightly better Missouri.
Yeah.
Missouri is 5%.
Okay.
This is what the quick Google search says, obviously.
Yeah, for sure. So let's put it at a 6.
Okay.
You okay with that?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's some really high price points that probably skew those
numbers. There's a lot of freaking money in Chicago. Yeah. It's insane. It's a huge city.
Huge. All right. On the cash flow side, with those higher price points and with
taxes, crazy, yes, property taxes, insane what they
insane
pay, cost of living, everything over there. Cash flow is not very good there.
Cash flow is not very good there, yeah, at all. Three?
Yeah, that's fine. I think three is good.
Three is good.
Mm-hmm.
And then the laws aren't super landlord friendly.
No, they're not bad as California, New York. But what do we give California?
Two.
What do we give New York?
We didn't do New York.
Okay, I would give it a three.
Three? Mm-hmm. I agree. All right, so we got 9 plus, we got 12.
Yeah, that sounds about right. It's tough. The only people that I know that own single family rentals over there is Danny. And he has, like, literally, I've seen it, been there several times. It's a like a $450,000 house, Lucas, that he rents for freaking like $4,600 a month, a single family house. So it's crazy high end, mm-hmm, people with a lot of money that just don't want to own. And there's not that many people out there. So it's hard to do, is my point.
Is there a short term or midterm market in
yes,
Chicago?
Yes, there
you
are.
Think?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, short-term, mid-terms help in every market, pretty much.
Yeah,
but
sometimes there's municipalities here in St. Louis
that don't
in
allow
our
it
county that can
don't allow short-term, but not
so,
mid-terms. But yes, you're right. There is a market up there, especially there's a lot of hospitals and stuff up there.
Yeah.
But I'm just going. I have a little experience. So our CFO and my buddy Danny, he owns a few rentals up there, and they're just like, it's like owning a rental in Chesterfield kind of thing. So they just if you're able to
a little higher end
and
higher
you can charge way, but it's way higher rent gets charged.
Yeah. Cool. Well, average of a 4 for Illinois.
Sounds right.
Would you rather, let's talk about, gosh, this is a good question. An $800,000 house, would you rather have in Southern California or outskirts of, you know, or a nice part of Chicago, let's say, a good part of Chicago?
For cash flowing rentals?
Just for your asset to own. Well, whatever you want to do with it, whether you want to short-term it or long-term it, or
I would probably, I mean, just
it's
asking
close
me, I'd probably rather Illinois just because it's closer to me. Get up there, and I have like, but yeah, it's close. I wouldn't love either.
They have the same
score. If I can short-term, I would probably maybe do California
if it's
available.
Score,
yeah, but because that's a more of a travel destination place.
Yeah.
But midterm or long-term, probably Illinois.
Okay.
What about you?
I'd say California.
Well,
probably
all the way?
Yeah.
You're such a fucking hippie.
I don't know. I'd think it'd be cool to own a house in California.
I'm kidding. I know. We probably will one day.
But they got the same scores. That's in our calculations, so that it's a close conversation.
Makes sense to me. Perfect. This is a fun conversation.
Yeah, it is.
Good idea on the outline, Shane. All right. Let's do my favorite market, just based on
What I know,
what I see for owning rent properties is North Carolina.
Okay. So we'll do North Carolina, then Florida. How about
yep
that?
So they have a lot of tax incentives for owning businesses over there, mm-hmm, and I would assume some. I don't know if that translates to real estate, and then population growth. I mean, that's been one of the most moved to markets.
Yeah,
it's
man
got
Charlotte.
You can go to the Appalachians, not super far. The ocean's not super far, and it's decent weather. You get a little bit of seasons.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like just the same season, but it's you know, really good. I love North Carolina as far as the market goes. I've been out there to Duke and Greensboro. I've been to Charlotte, so I've been out there a few times. I really like. I like North and South Carolina both a ton.
Yeah. Yeah, I
and Georgia,
I
all
been
that right
there.
There.
Much, on that like southern East Coast, I would love to have aspirations of doing that. I'm sure I will one day. But
you need to go Savannah, Georgia. Beautiful. If you have, it's awesome.
From like Savannah to like Charleston,
and Hilton Head, all that stuff up there. Yeah,
up there a little north too. Yeah, but a lot of people move in North Carolina, which is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
You want people moving to your state.
Yes,
it's going to drive prices up of homes.
I'm looking at values right now,
and it's going to drive prices up of rent. But that means you're in a desirable area, right? So if you own real estate in that area already, good for you, because people moving to your state is going to drive those prices up.
This is a perfect example of when populations flood there and you get a little bit over supply of growth.
Yeah.
So I'm giving you a little bit of a hint. It's not as impressive recently in the past year, but in the past 3 years it is. What do you think the past year appreciation over there is?
I'm not sure. Like, we saw on the coast in the past year definitely come back to reality.
So it did, yep. You're right.
So is there any?
Six.
Six? Okay. Mm-hmm. That's good.
Past 3 years, 30.
Yeah. Total or year over year?
And up, it says last 5.whatever% and since February 2023. So that's since February. So yeah, year over year-ish. And then 30, it just says 30.8 in the last 3 years. So I don't know.
So about 10% average
so it's,
year over year.
Yeah, it's 330 now. So it's way more than Missouri. And it's, so that's my point. The average house over there is $330,000.
Yeah.
It's gone up a lot.
Yeah.
But still.
But I mean, we saw like the real appreciation markets, like the Miamis, the Phoenix, the LAs, San Diego's, like we saw like 30% 1 year.
Yeah, I think that I would guess that's obviously the total time.
Total.
Yeah,
so
probably 10-ish percent
so
a year.
So it leads us right into appreciation.
Yep, and I think it's great. Probably it's, not California, but more than Missouri and, Illinois, or,
yeah,
and Indiana. So where are we?
So that puts us at either, I would say, we have Indiana at a 6 and Cali at an 8. So maybe a 7?
I would say a strong 7. I don't think 7. If we did California at 8, then it can't be that. But I would say strong 7.
Yeah, strong 7.
Cash flow,
still
it's
a
good.
Possibility.
It is good
yeah.
over there. With being able to, a lot of the markets known over there, there's like affordable. The laws are good. The taxes are fair. So cash flow is going to be similar to Missouri, I think.
7. Let's do it a 7.
Yep.
And laws, I'm not super familiar, but
the laws for anybody I know that owns real estate, there's it's not like an issue, so I'd give it similar to here too.
So 8.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Just strong across the board. 23.
Yeah, that's my. I mean, 22.
22.
Yeah.
Still
22. Yeah. No, it's just everybody I know that goes over there. There's some investing groups over there. It's a really really strong market. Devin's out there.
That's
our boy Devin.
Super unique. To have the appreciation and cash flow be that high, like you see it even in Missouri, like little less appreciation, but we get the cash flow. California, you get the appreciation, pretty much no cash flow. It's really cool to have a balance of both.
And that's
of those.
Why it's. I mean, I feel like I kind of guided the conversation, giving them a good store, but I think it's accurate. That's why it's one of the top mark. I mean, everybody, most people put it in their top five.
Yeah. And not it's expensive, but not like. Not unreasonable.
Yes, correct.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. At what was that, 330 or mm-hmm. so? Yeah.
I think because I think you get the big crazy markets. I still think the median in the United States is well over 400. So it's less than the median house.
Yeah.
You can get it for cheaper there than average median. Median average are different.
Yeah.
But you also get the, so that's why, and I would say 10 years ago, it wasn't probably that, or 15 years ago.
Yeah.
So the states and cities do have fluctuate. They kind of breathe, I like to say, inhale, exhale a little bit. So, yes, correct. So it's on a inhale if you're inhaling good property. So lastly, Florida gets a little bit different.
This is
and we
probably,
know a little bit about Florida.
We do. This is probably the wildest market, I would say, because it has so many big cities.
Yes.
And it has different, you know, it's different throughout the whole state. You got
like Miami,
Southern Florida, Central Florida, Panhandle, Northeast
they're
Florida.
They're all so
they're
different.
They're all very different.
Panhandle, Miami are way different than
completely
on the beach.
Different.
We got Orlando, Jacksonville, which I just was in Jacksonville, been in Orlando several times. Our boy Jakey's down there.
Like
way different than Miami.
Yeah, and even like Southern Florida is different from Miami over to the Fort Myers side and everything.
And
so.
Then Tampa is like the one of the fastest growing and is
Tampa.
Somewhat affordable. It's not like Miami. And
Tampa's probably one of my favorite cities.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. And all the sub markets of St. Pete and
by top 10 city, there's probably two or three in Florida.
Yeah. Yeah, man. It's what a fun market to be a part of.
Yeah.
It's wild. I don't even know where to start with this, but appreciation's got to be
a lot.
Good.
Yes, I agree.
It's crazy because you have California, which net people are technically
leaving.
Moving out of.
Correct.
But you still see appreciation now.
Because it's just, it's. I think it's
so
got
much,
the fifth biggest economy in the world because of Silicon Valley.
Yeah, and it's just got beautiful weather and landscapes and everything.
Okay.
With Florida, you probably have the most people moving into the country. Mm-hmm. Is that the highest move state?
I believe so. It's close if it's not.
And you got the beach. You got these luxury markets, so
it's a unique.
I would say Florida appreciation.
What do you think the average house price in Florida is?
It's again, like
we're North Carolina's 330. We were 230.
We're talking about these big cities, but there's also some rural Florida as well.
Because St. Charles, the average house price is like 330, but in all of Missouri, it's 230 or whatever.
Yeah, for sure. So all of Florida, I would say. 500,000.
397.
397. I was going to say 400.
I thought you were going to say 400 too. I was like, damn, you were close.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, that's, North Carolina was 330. And then it's got
double us.
It's got, over the past year, it saw that correction, 3% appreciation.
Yeah. What's
so,
the past 3 years?
It's just not popping up. I can see.
I would say it's probably like,
so since over the past year from the first quarter of 2022, so it's the past over like a year and a half has been 13,
mm-hmm.
but the past year has been 3, so it really slowed down.
Yeah, we're getting back to more normal,
which
is
good
healthy.
Thing. Yes.
Yeah. So appreciation, man, I would even if the numbers don't exactly say it, I would rank it as high as California.
I agree. I'm good with that.
Eight.
Okay.
Man, cash flow's there too.
You can get cash flow there a little bit. Yeah, it's got no state income tax again, which helps the renters, is my point. The renters are able to afford more. It's not as big of a hit on them.
I wouldn't say it's quite as high as North Carolina, Missouri.
The point is I think we could go to the outskirts of Tampa and buy a single-family rental cash flows.
Me too.
And Tampa's a really popular, hot-growing city.
Yeah, I know a lot of people with rentals in Jacksonville that are buying in Jacksonville,
and Orlando. I've been to Orlando. You can cash flow there.
Yeah. I know Grant Cardone. Like, he knows a little bit about real estate, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he buys a lot of real estate in
as
Florida.
As much as he probably says, but I'm kidding. Yeah. I'm kidding. He knows a lot, yeah.
Yeah. Ben Mala buys a lot in Florida, too. Yeah. All different parts of it, so... those are all the bigger multifamily guys. So obviously there's something there, but on the single family, you go out to the outskirts, I think you can find it pretty well. Can you find a condo in Miami that's going to cash flow? No.
Yeah.
Probably not.
You can't find a condo that'll do the cash flows in St. Louis. So it's a similar thing. And we have students down there that are doing. I met some in Jacksonville when I went there. We have students that are buying cash flow rentals in Florida.
Yeah, I love it, man. And I think Jacksonville is a great market to do it because it's probably like the redheaded stepchild of Florida.
Yeah.
But it's still Florida.
Yeah. Jacksonville is the biggest city in the country. It's like 800 square miles. It's like the biggest like geography city in the country.
I did not know that.
Yeah, isn't that wild?
That is wild. St. Louis is probably the smallest. So little.
Yes, it is. So I would say, so what you said, I was kind of thinking of my thoughts. What you said, not as good as North Carolina, Missouri, but still probably decent.
Six on cash flow.
Yep.
And laws are, I believe they have pretty strong laws.
Yeah, I don't think it's quite like Texas, so I would put it between Missouri and Texas. Yeah.
Well, we did Texas. Yeah, 8 and 9 was for Missouri and Texas. So 7?
I would probably say 7.
Seven.
I bet, yeah.
So that's a 21.
Yeah.
7 on average.
I like an overall array. I'm sure there's tweaks. Yeah. And if you have your opinions and thoughts, obviously we don't, I've looked up so many things on goods. And most people say cities as they break it down for, but they look into a ton of different stuff. But overall, I like where we landed on most of those.
Yeah, and I would say, just creating this and creating the A, B, C class of the United States, probably, what do you think? 7 plus would be A,
mm-hmm.
give or take? Maybe not.
Well, I think that's probably fair. We should probably do this for our community.
We should. This is fun.
Yeah. So I'm gonna make a note.
You could do a survey.
Yeah, survey and just give our opinions of, yeah.
Or in other markets.
Yeah, because a lot of people want to invest remotely, so we give a little more guidance there.
Very cool.
Yeah, want to get to the question?
Yeah, I want to get some questions. So there's a couple. Can we scroll up on that at all? We missed JTG's first question. He has some follow-up on it below, just some clarification.
If we can, we can get the bootlegs. Let's get the bootlegs while you're doing it. I have $150,000 of equity in my home, and I'm just successful coming out of a Chapter 13 bankruptcy. What are some options? What are some options for you? So that Chapter 13 bankruptcy is going to hurt a little bit.
Yeah.
So your options are, you have $150,000 equity. No. Your options are to tap into that equity and flip. What are you saying?
What do you mean flip?
Like flip a house.
Well, he's saying how to tap in that.
Oh, I have a... What options? So, if you,
No, number one is you sell it.
Yeah, sell it. That's tough. But, yeah, I don't know that you'd be able to do a HELOC if you went through Chapter 13.
And I don't know what, people's qualifications are on bankruptcies for renting. So, it might, maybe don't, because it might be challenging to buy another house or rent another house.
Mm-hmm.
You could go a private lender route and put a second on it with a private lender.
Mm-hmm.
You could do that by real estate. If banks do it, a private lender would be willing to do that.
Just let them put a lien in your house while they give you money. Yeah.
Yep.
That's an option. And then being Chapter 13, my thought would be if you want to get a rental, you probably have to partner with somebody or do creative financing sub to owner financing because you don't need a bank. So it's tough. You're gonna have to avoid banks for a while, in my opinion. So flipping, wholesaling avoids banks, private lenders with partners avoid banks, or creative financing.
All right. We got JTG's question up on the screen now.
You read it.
All right. I should be getting $150,000 to $300,000 plus. Not sure how, but should be getting that. My plan is to learn flipping first, then start accumulating rentals along the way, and work up to apartment complex. Do you think this sounds like a solid plan? Thanks, guys.
JTG, first off, yes, solid plan. B, Yeah, if you're getting that much money, you need to get, I don't rarely say this, you need to get some type of guide. Like, it doesn't have to be our community, but if you have that much money, you're going to be able to move so quickly if you do things efficiently. Spending a few grand on, like, the correct coaching mentorship community, you're going to move so much faster. You, with that much, depending on where you were investing, how hard you want to work, you buy five rentals this year. But if you do it on your own, I'm pretty confident you're not going to buy five rentals or flip. So, and then, what's there, SLC? Connections in South.
I think it could be St. Louis City.
Yeah, but anyways, DM me on Instagram, JTG. I can send you some information. But yeah,
we offer mentorship.
Yeah, we have a community mentorship that literally, like I said, gives the systems and processes to flip, wholesale, and buy rentals. Everything you want to do, we do it, and we do it the right way.
In general, I love that plan. You got some
Salt
cash.
Lake. Yeah, we have community members over there in Utah for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and I love that plan. I think. Yeah, I think
it'd be so dangerous being able to.
I would do a couple flips, you know what I mean? Maybe just learn the process, but you don't need to do a lot, especially if you're sitting on 300K. You got a little runway, so really start to transition to those rentals as soon as possible, mm-hmm. I would say.
I agree, and then you can, because you can always intermingle. We figured out passive active income are needed if you want to do it the right way. So the goal, I think, would you try to get a handful of deals a year and keep some as rentals and flip some.
And a lot of people try to teach going to multifamilies right away.
It's tough, man.
We just don't. Love that idea. You can build up credibility along the way with a little portfolio of single family rentals, and then jump into multifamily is my plan.
So we got turned down for the first Geraldine loans because we didn't have enough experience or credit or what. I always tell people, like, it's hard. The banks were a little tighter then, and then they loosed up now. But a 32 unit, we couldn't get.
Definitely experience. We didn't have the down payment.
We had, that was part of it,
So they wanted to see some skin in the game for us, and we were owner financing the down payment, and they didn't like that.
That was it, okay. That was it. Because I would think if we had the 20%, they would have approved it. Because we had 20 rentals at the time, probably.
Yes, they would have.
So it was more of the owner financing. But if we had zero rentals, I don't think they would have.
Correct.
Okay, cool. All right, that was fun. Hopefully everybody enjoyed that. We're going to ask you to share this show, whether you're listening or watching. Please share whatever platform you're watching. If you're watching the view or listening to the audio, I'd appreciate a share this with a friend. If they live in a state or you want us to do different states, we can do that again in the future. So just sharing is caring, and we appreciate that. Let's get into some current headlines. Let's argue a little bit.
Let's do it. What is the first current headline? I'll say it. New California bill would ban line skipping service Clear from airports in the name of equality, I'll say.
I have a decent problem with this. You don't?
Yeah. Let's talk about what Clear is first.
Okay.
Because I've seen it before. I've never utilized it.
I just know it's like a TSA on steroids. You pay and you can skip the line and go right through
TSA
everything.
TSA pre-check on steroids?
TSA pre-check on steroids is the simple way to look at it as far
as I've never done the pre-check. We probably should start looking at some of these services.
We just got to go, especially that TSA pre-check, which, again, that should be illegal if this is illegal. But, you skip the line a little bit. So
you pay $189 a year to jump up in the front of security. Is that how it works, or do
pretty
you have
much
to go through security?
You have to go through security. You can bypass the checkpoints. They get it. They just verify your documents, and you're through. So it's just, it's just a faster TSA pre-check.
Yeah. I guess the reasoning behind this doesn't make a lot of sense to me. If the reason is, and first of all, this is proposed.
Correct.
And nothing has been passed or anything. If the reason is truly equality, to me, what separates levels of financial inequality is not $189 a year.
I agree with that. That's where we agree. That's where I think the point was, like, They don't want to help have rich people do what poor people can't. But if you're in an airport, you're not that poor because the flights are going to be a few hundred dollars. So $15 a month is just if you want to do it or not. And that gets into the freedom of being able to use your money where you want to use it. That's where it annoys me. And I'm not like some crazy right winger, as we talk about. I'm very much in the middle on most things. But this just annoys me a little bit.
Yeah. To me, that's not the real reason.
What do you think the real reason is then?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm maybe there's just some sort of disagreement with the company Clear.
Well, then don't say in the name of equality then.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. Maybe the person that proposed this, that is their real reason, which doesn't make sense.
And David Fisher said, we just need to say pre-check. Next flight, we just show up an hour earlier, Lucas. You can schedule it, and you just go answer questions, and you're done.
Yeah. Service with cost is not worth it. So he's saying
Well, that's not the reason it's going away, though. Just it sounds like it's not as good as it used to be because everybody's doing it because it's only $190 for a year. So that's why. But, yeah.
Yeah.
So I think we not as heated because I. But yeah, I think it's stupid if it's what it's saying. It's because of equality. They're not letting me spend my money on something that I want to spend my money on. If the crazy metaphors of not being able to buy a limited version of an SUV because that's I know they're different, but the analogy of not letting me spend my money where I want to spend my money, I don't like that.
Yeah,
a slippery slope. And California, as you said, is an innovator on a lot of things that are probably good, but they go too far on some things, just like Texas goes too far on some things, in my opinion.
Yeah, so, I actually agree.
There you go. See, I'm a reasonable man, Lucas. All right, so new USA home sales jumped to the highest level since. Whoa, we're not going to use that as the cut-up short. I screwed up talking, Tyler. All right, so the new USA home sales jumped to the highest level since September, so since the past 8 months.
That's great news. We are.
That means inventory is breaking loose a little bit.
A little bit, yeah. So and just the market is transacting again. Transactions are down from pre-COVID, still about 50%, give or take.
In our market, which I think is probably pretty somewhat indicative of most of the country, I would guess.
Yeah, so to see that kind of come back, not even come back, it's not even close. It's going to take
years
to get back to pre-COVID levels of transactions.
For several reasons.
But a 9% increase is a step in the right direction, for sure.
That's what you want. It's great when we have a flip walls that gets multiple offers, but just when things are more balanced and more regulated and more regular, you can make better predictions and you kind of see around the corner and make strategic decisions. When you get 30 offers on houses for a while and then nobody's listing their houses and things are going below and above asking, it's just hard to navigate and keep your pulse on it. So in general, it's a good for the real estate industry. More homes are breaking loose. Yeah. They're not going to break loose a ton until interest rates go down, in my opinion. I think a drastic drop in interest rates is the only way to create a market that is somewhat equal with buyers and sellers, but nothing is indicating a drastic interest rate drop for a long time.
And I feel like people probably would have thought that the 30-year fix would have came down a little bit more by now. Would you agree with that?
I think so,
if you were like 6 months ago.
And the market, which whatever that means, we talked to Taylor about, the market priced in 6 rate cut drops in 2024. And that's Fed funds rate, but that does have some correlation to the 30-year.
Yeah.
And I don't know that we'll get anything before the election, I don't think, with the recent CPI reports and everything. We talked about this on the we got Greg Conley and David White, the super in the mortgage space.
Yeah.
They gave their opinions on like where interest rates are going, and both of them thought that we're not going to get like down to the where people thought until probably mid 2025.
Yeah, what level is that, you think?
They thought.
Are you talking about Fed funds or 30-year?
30-year.
30-year. So like down to like the fives.
They
mid
thought
2025?
Upper fives probably would be a year, at least a year away, which people thought that was going to be. I saw some reports that were saying in the fours again by in 2024, and that's not happening.
No, I don't see that happening.
Not. I'm wrong a lot, but I was like, I'm very positive there will be two or less rate increases in 2024, and they won't be drastic.
Yeah. So it's been like this weird dynamic of rates increasing throughout all of last year and people either trying to get ahead of that and buy now so it doesn't increase more. And then the other people that are in the other boat are like, hey, I'm going to wait till it peaks and then starts to come down. So that's kind of put a pause on a lot of people, just some uncertainty in where rates are going. It's been pretty flat, I would say, the last 3 months, been about 7, right, give or take.
Well, Fed's funds hasn't moved in 6 months, but I know the 30-year has more fluctuation.
Yeah, been about 7, so there is that stability that gives homeowners or home buyers and people that are moving in general a little bit of confidence that they're not going to get, you know, if they buy today, rates aren't going to, the bottom's not going to fall out, and they're going to be like, damn, I should have waited a month or two, you know, so that's not happening, or the vice versa. No one thinks mortgage rates are going to skyrocket either. So there's just some stability there. Like, hey, this is what it's going to be for a while. If you want to move, just go out and do it. It's not going to change.
It's not going to substantially stay up or down.
Yeah.
Because the 30 year's gone up a little bit, as you kind of alluded to.
Small amount.
I mean, I think 5 months ago, you could still get it, but you could have got like 6.667 now.
It's gone down since 5 months ago.
Has it? Well, Greg would say most of it's like 7.173 right now.
Yeah,
so, but not that long ago, it was 6.8 is my point. So it has ticked up.
I would say that's more like a month ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I don't,
And
but it has fluctuated.
I heard some 625 quotes like a month and a half and ago.
And it ticked back up. Yeah. It's because the demand's ticked up and they can, yeah. I think. Yeah, and last thing on that, which I think, by the way, take a note, I think we should do like a market prediction interest rate, like how it affects the market. I think we could talk a lot about this, and yeah. I want to do more research on it to learn, like we said earlier. But a hidden thing, it's not really hidden, I think, that people don't think about. And through our half glass full mindset, I look at historical data, and when the market slows down as an economy and we go into recession, they lower rates, and that usually means higher prices. So I do think that there's not really a scenario where you're going to see a huge dip in rates, prices are going to stay the same, and you're going to get a deal.
Yeah.
Like, I think if rates come down substantially, that means prices will go up, and maybe your net payment a month will come down a little bit, but it's not like you're going to get $400 a month or less in rent because you got a 5.5% rate. If rates go down to 5.5, the house you're buying right now is going to be, you're going to have to pay a lot more for it. Does that make sense?
10-20% more.
Yeah. So the net difference is going to be not as substantial as you think, because house real estate goes up in value. It just does.
Yeah.
So
for sure. I think the interest rate is probably more powerful on a monthly basis than the home price.
I agree.
I think a little bit more.
But it's not going to be as drastic as people think.
It won't be. It's gonna balance each other out. You know, you're gonna have to have a bigger down payment. You're gonna have to have this. So it all evens out. You're gonna have to pay more interest over time. But your monthly buying power is probably a little bit better with, depending on what rates go down to.
And you know what I'm surprised didn't catch on more, maybe because this is all short term, is that like 35-year mortgage, that 40-year mortgage. I heard whisperings of it, and it made sense to me because like if you're very few people ever pay off their mortgage, they just move it to a different one. Like, so what's the point in 30 or 40? I get a lower payment and not much equity in their word. Like, but I just thought that, like, who says 30 years? What the fuck, like, who decided that?
Yeah.
Depreciation is 27.5, so it's not even that. Yeah. So, or depreciation.
Arbitrary. Yeah.
Cool. Awesome. Last one, and then we'll get rocking. We're going long today.
What she said?
Yep. All right. So Tesla layoffs 2,700 jobs in Austin. So Tesla's laid off 2,688 employees. It was posted on Monday. So Tesla's been – have you followed that stock? You follow stocks more than I do. It has been insane. It's down like 60-something percent in the last like few years or whatever. But then it went up like crazy. And Tesla's stock's been more crypto-ish than anything else, I feel like.
Well, it makes sense with their leader.
Elon.
It goes right along with that. Yeah, I don't follow Tesla too much from a stock perspective just because
– what do we own most stocks in?
You know, big companies like
blue chip stuff.
Okay. Like
makes sense.
We do own a real estate stock, Pulte Homes, Target, Bank of America.
Okay, so
probably our big dogs right now. I own some Apple, obviously. Yeah,
I don't know what I own or what we own, but we do own stuff.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about why.
Okay, get into that. I hadn't read that ahead.
Yeah. So this was under the WARN Act, W-A-R-N, a U.S. labor law that requires employers with 100 or more employees to provide 60 days notification in advance of planned closings or mass layoffs to protect workers. So that's not why.
We know about it.
That's why we know about it. They just had to document it a different way. I think it was like one of the episodes where you were out of town, so maybe like a few weeks ago, we talked about Tesla having plans to it was more than this. So this is probably just the first round.
Okay.
I think it's up to 10,000 people.
Damn, that's a lot of people.
It is. They have about 150,000, I think I looked up. So
I mean, that happens. We see it happen with all companies.
It happens,
but still,
it's
yeah.
not a huge, what is that, 7.5% of their force? So it's part of it. It sucks, don't get me wrong. Our notes say this could be partially due to recalls on all Cybertrucks sold since November. My dad recently bought not a Cybertruck, but a Tesla in general, a normal Tesla, I think a Model Y, and just they're offering crazy rebates.
I've heard they've lowered their prices in a lot of places to try and get some volume.
Yeah, and Elon also had an idea of creating a very affordable electric car at some point, and I think they just kind of scrapped that right now. So not going that route at the moment. Some defects with the Cybertruck. I mean,
you see the one where they cut off you chop off your finger?
No, what happened?
If you put when the hood lowers, and like if you put with like your finger, they use the carrot, and like there's no like stop. It will chop anything off, and the metal's super sharp. So you put your arm in it, and it lowers. It's not going to stop. Your arm's going to be chopped off.
Wow, There's no. It's got to be some sort of reverse censor, right?
That's not there. Well, they've because they've done it with like carrots and like, and it just chops.
That seems like an interesting thing to miss for a tech company, you know?
It does, and I'm sure there's other things, but yeah, Tesla's just all over the place. I think I feel like honestly, Tesla's like buying like a crypto, like you get a good ways, but this ain't gonna.
You're investing in Elon,
and he's too crazy to be steady in
you're
that.
You're investing in Elon, whereas these other companies, you're investing in the actual company and the income that it produces, but. The price that you're paying for a Tesla stock does not support what the business is actually doing.
Yes, it's overvalued.
It's a tough business, man. I'm not saying it's easy.
Like, no, but he's like distracted doing other things. Yeah. And if he was just the Tesla, then it would probably do better, and people would invest in it more. But he's just doing a million other things, and he smoked pot on the Joe Rogan podcast, and their stock got crushed.
Yeah.
Which, A, who cares? But B, yeah.
Yeah. If you know, maybe it's time to find a CEO. Replacement for Tesla.
I think that would piss even more people off. They'd rather have half Elon than no Elon, but who knows? I agree. Undivided attention is not usually the most efficient.
For sure.
Cool. All right. We're rocking this episode. Let's get into Riddle.
Riddle me that. Oh, no. Oh, no.
What?
I just got so stumped last time. I still have a little bit of PTSD there.
Yes. Yes. Chain crushed you. All right. See if he can... I've seen a couple of these, so he didn't make these up, which is good news. All right, Lucas, what is a question you can answer, or what is a question you can never answer yes to?
Okay, there's a lot of right answers to this.
Probably.
Like, hey, what's your name?
Okay, right? Yes, yeah.
A hypothetical question.
What's a yes or no question you can never answer yes, you can never say yes to? How about that?
Yes or no question.
That's probably a better way, yeah.
Okay, what's a yes or no question you can never answer yes to?
I'll give you a half because that was not a word and you said that, but I don't know you'll get it. I've heard this one before.
You can never answer yes to, are you dead?
That'll work. It's are you sleeping?
Yeah, sleeping. Okay. Yeah.
Similar. So, yeah, you'll get the full point because I think
go.
The point is...
Well, on the board, boys!
Settle down, A. You'll never be able to answer that, but yeah, you could eventually answer it, but yes, that's similar thing. So you get that point. All right, ready? A man who was outside in the rain without an umbrella or hat didn't get a single hair on his head wet. Why?
He's bald.
Yep. This is much. See, it's fun. The stump. It's fun to give him some freezy ones.
There I am.
That's Lucas. How did you get a picture of Lucas like that?
His eyebrows be thick.
Yeah, your eyebrows are not. That's probably a good thing. Those are a little aggressive. Look at the left one. That's super thick on the outside.
That's like your mustache when you get it going.
Yeah.
Caterpillar.
I just love it so much. It just slaps, but then I get sick of it.
Yeah.
It just looks so good. It's one of those things. Yeah.
It's just a challenge to upkeep.
Yeah, it is.
You know.
All right. So April showers bring May flowers. What do May flowers
pilgrims.
Bring?
Pilgrims.
Got them.
Let's go.
3-4-3.
Hey.
Gosh, I've listened to us do those stupid loud noises. They sound so stupid on the over the speakers, but it's fine. I don't care.
Yeah, a couple questions you want to get to before we go to get into true or false, Ginger and Sishi.
So does the Burr method work in expensive cities like New York? No, not really. So if Sishi, if you're just joining this. We did a long, probably 45 minutes.
This goes to Ginger's question as well.
So for 45 minutes, we talked about what states are good to buy rental properties in, specifically the Burr's method, and which states aren't. So go back, rewind, or listen to this when it comes out. We cover that in great detail.
All right. Beautiful, man. All right. True or false for you. All right. Here we go. Bats can't see.
I think this is false. Don't give us the answer yet because I know that they use sonar, but I just think it's because they can't see well. So bats can't see. I'm going to say false.
It is false. They can't see well.
All right, perfect.
Great job, dude.
Shaner's, if we go 6-for-6, he's going to come up with crazy hard ones next time.
I know.
All right.
You ain't going 3-for-3, though. So, all right. Ants can lift up to... 1,450 times their body weight. 1,450 times their body weight.
This is the tricky one because they can lift way over their body weight. So that's the thing is I know they can lift 100. Can they lift 500 times their body weight or 2,000? So this is where true falses are trickier than
which
riddles.
Which one is it?
Yeah, sorry.
500 or 2,000?
Yeah. I'm going to say true.
It's false. It's 5,000. So it's not like 1,500. At least it's like a big difference.
Not really. It's like an obnoxious amount more than their weight either way.
Yes. 5,000 times their body weight. All right. That's impressive. Mm-hmm. That's similar to you in a way.
I'm more like the 1500.
Okay. Still good.
I used to almost lift double my body weight in bench. Remember? Nice. Not yeah. almost double, but we used to be able to lift.
Yeah.
About 1.75%. 80%.
Yeah. All right. Cool. All right. Last one. True or false? The unicorn is the national animal of Scotland.
So that's so obnoxious that it's got to be true. Is it true? Yes. Two out of three, I'll take it.
Yeah, it's good.
Mine were way harder than yours.
I don't know about that.
What do you fucking do in Scotland? It's not a real thing.
Can you do a Scottish accent?
What you doing, Scotland?
That's pretty good. Yeah. Not bad. You're getting better.
You know what I heard the other day? What if, like, you landed on Earth, you didn't know anything, you knew a little bit, but you didn't know every species of animals. Would you think there's a horse that has a horn on it, or would you think there is a duck that's a mammal that has teeth and has a tail, which is a platypus? So anyways, like, it's like a unicorn just seems like it'd be way more realistic than like a platypus, but it's not.
Were they ever?
No.
Never a thing?
Lucas, you think unicorns are fucking extinct?
Yeah. Is that true?
All right, moving on to Motivational Wednesday. Or were unicorns ever real? All right. Growth is a messy collage, not a perfect picture. Embrace the stumbles and the splatters. They add texture to your masterpiece.
For sure.
Embrace. Gemini, this is Google's AI. That's funny.
That is funny. That's beautiful, Gemini. Appreciate you, G.
It used to be Bard, right?
Change their name.
Yeah.
Messy but beautiful. I agree with that 100%. Yeah, it's messy, but that's what makes it the masterpiece. If it was so picture perfect and every single angle and line is within the picture, like, that wouldn't be any fun. Number one, like, you would know your growth path, and then what's the point of growth? Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't put you in a discomfort zone to challenge you and make you better at that point. And so I agree with this 100%. I think it's beautiful.
I agree. I don't think it's not realistic, in my opinion. I look a little more. I agree with you. Yeah. What you said, look more practical approach. It just growing means like doing more of something. Like, you can remain stagnant and not stumble.
Or doing something different.
Yeah, doing something different, growing, getting better, faster, bigger, stronger, growing. So you're not going to be able to do that without like experimenting something. There's no exact proven path. Even the community members we have are crushing it, but they're still making mistakes. Like, even if you have the systems and process, you're still not going to do it without some mess.
And it's really just a mindset. Understanding that mistakes are part of your journey and you can't avoid them.
They're literally on the path.
Yes, and use them to your advantage and flip that script and treat them as learning lessons. So when they come, it doesn't destroy your entire trajectory. It just makes you stronger.
Yeah, and it just allows you to know what not to do the next time. And as long as you continue to move, like I was when I was speaking at Deal Champs this weekend, I was like, those like the bonus tip was like, failure is a part of the process. If you avoid failure, you avoid success. You're literally, if your goal is to not fail, you're never going to be successful.
For sure.
Like, your step is like, try something, succeed, get a property, fail. Like, it's part of the process. So, we 100% agree on this. Are you down right now?
Well, are we adding Matt and I's shot?
No, because we didn't add him when you were there.
All right. Well, then
I'm not letting Matt represent me.
Then I'm down one.
Matt's got a broke ass jumper.
I'm down one.
All right. Lucas is down one. We're going to go to trashes. So if you're watching, you get the – we should probably end the actual audio when we shoot because it makes no sense.
No way, man. They can hear us. They can still hear us. Yes.
That was wet.
All
right. I'm not going to like – the one time I got
that was
heavy
in.
For a minute, I do it like my eyes.
So we're tied for a moment, but Sam has an extra shot here. Ooh, made it.
Got it.
Sam's still up one. We'll see you guys on the next one.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. We hope you got some major value from our conversation. If you love what you learn, make sure you like, rate, review the show, and help us spread the word by telling a friend.
If you'd like to learn more about working with me inside one of my programs, we'll have those links in the show notes, along with all our social media handles, so you connect with us there for free. If there's a real estate question you'd like us to answer, feel free to send us a message, and we'll cover it in an upcoming show.